third and I guess final week of our series titled, Does God Control Everything? And we've been looking at the sovereignty of God as the theological, I guess, terminology of what you want to call this, the sovereignty of God. Last week we looked at the subject of free will and how God gave us the power to choose life or to choose death. And I asked the question, if God gave us a free will, do we have the power to interrupt or detour God's plan for our lives? We saw through the story of King Hezekiah and King Josiah that the answer to that question is a resounding yes. You can interrupt what God's plan is for your life. We learned that God has a great plan for us all, and when we get to a certain age of understanding, our choices have an effect on the plan that God has for us. God has given us the free will to participate with God or not. We learn nothing is automatic. God's will does not automatically come to pass in our lives. We must learn, and here's the key, to participate with what God is doing in our life. You have to choose to follow His plan for your life. You have to pray. You have to grab a hold of the promises of God. You have to graft the Word of God into your life. Begin to apply the principles of the Word of God, of the Bible, into your life. You have to use your faith. You have to do your part. Look at the person next to you and say, I have to do my part. See, we have to do our part. God does His part, but you have to do your part. If there's any principle that I have continued, Jerry and I have continued in our children, is the fact that they have to do their part. They can pray and want certain things to happen in their future, but if they don't do their part, God's not going to do His part. It's like, you know, studying for a test. God is not going to pass the test for you. You study and ask God to help you to recall what you read and what you learned. See, do your part and put your trust in God to do His part and make a way for you. That's something that we have to understand and recognize. It's going on every single day in our life is that we have an enemy that knows this truth about you participating with God, and he uses every strategy, every power, every force, every opportunity at his disposal to get you off track of God's plan for your life and the plan that God has for humanity. Our job is to resist the devil and cooperate with God. Each and every day we are faced with choices that are either going to benefit the kingdom of God and his plan on the earth, or it's going to just benefit you. See, that's the balance, the challenge of life. Listen, if you are, as a confessing Christian, have plans, and those plans do not benefit the kingdom of God or his mission in the world, they're not God's plans, they're yours. We have to understand that. Your plans and God's plans can be the same, but sometimes they can be completely different. They can be completely different. And just because your plan succeeded on this earth doesn't mean they're succeeding in eternity. So many times, and we're all guilty of this, and I'm guilty of this, I want just the things that benefit me. I don't want to sacrifice my plan for what God is trying to do. I have plans, right? How many of you have heard that? I have plans. Well, you know what? You can do your plans. We have to make a conscious choice to cooperate with what God is doing. And here, let me tell you something. Anybody that tells you that every single time you make a decision to cooperate with God's plans for eternity, that it's going to benefit you on this earth is not telling you the truth. It can benefit you in great ways. But I'm telling you, you have an enemy. We live in a fallen world, and when we live in a fallen world, we have an enemy. There is sacrifice involved. But the benefit is going to be for eternity. When you stand before God, you are going to see what your sacrifice for the kingdom of God on this earth has done for all of eternity. Does it cost us something? Absolutely it does. Here's the challenging part of it too. This same attitude can trickle itself down into our involvement in the church and the value that we have of the local church. See, our commitment and involvement in the local church financially and with our gifts and talents and attendance directly affects the success of the church and your personal success as a Christian as well. When you decide to commit to being a part of a local church and you're saying, I want to cooperate with God, with the God-ordained vision and mission of the church, and you do that through support and involving yourself in the priorities of the local church, when we do that, we are cooperating with God's plan for man and God's plan for us. Part of God's plan for us is our commitment to the local church, period. That never changes. When people say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in life. Well, if you're going to church, that's a biggie. That's a huge one right there. Because that starts opening the door to everything else God wants to do in your life. Is your involvement with the church. Now listen, right there in your notes, the first one. There is nothing more important to the Father than His church. There is nothing more important to the Father than His church. Why? Because His church is the visual manifestation of what He is trying to do on the earth. It is the location of where God begins to work through our lives and brings us together and unifies us together so that we learn and we are instructed and we learn to follow what God is trying to do and how He operates. We are a reflection of the government of God in heaven and it's on the earth. Are we perfect at it? Absolutely not. But it begins to show us what God is trying to do. So with that said, let's dive into our lesson today. And we're going to be looking at the concept of power and authority as it relates to this question about God's direct control over everything on the earth. The first thing we have to understand is, and I think we would agree with this, God is indeed the all-powerful one. That's without dispute. One of His names, El Shaddai, means the Lord God Almighty. We don't question that. But here's the deal. Even though God is the all-powerful one, He chose to what has been called self-limit His power and authority by delegating a portion of that power and authority to mankind. In Psalm chapter 115 and verse 16, it says, "The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth He has given to the human race." So in other words, God, His abode is heaven. In that spiritual place where you and I right now can't see. That is where God is. We live on the earth. God created the earth and everything in the earth for man. So if He created this earth for man, if you and I are made from the very elements of the earth, then it would fit that He's going to give us some sort of authority or some sort of direct connection to what happens on this earth. And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the effects of what has happened on this earth because of what man has done. We don't think that we affect what goes on here. Yes, we do. We absolutely do. We read in the book of Genesis when God made Adam and Eve and He told them to have dominion. With delegation, God made man responsible for what happens on the earth. We as human beings follow that pattern all the time in everything we do. We delegate. We learn to delegate. We delegate to others and we give them the power to make decisions on our behalf. If you have a boss at work, you run a company, you cannot do everything yourself, so you delegate your authority for someone to go do that. People write checks all the time by your authority, delegated authority to that person. You ever heard the term power of attorney? What is that? That's the power that I release to somebody to stand on my behalf. So God has released His presence and His power in our lives. Why do we do this right now? Because we're following the example and the pattern that God had set for us from the very beginning. As soon as God gave Adam and Eve the authority, Adam sinned and yielded his God-given delegated authority to Satan. We don't know how long Adam was on the earth before this occurred. We have no way of knowing, but in our world, we read it in about 5 minutes. So in the chapter 1, 2, and 3, we can fill it in. So really, it took about 5 minutes. God created him, and 5 minutes later, he sinned. It was over. He didn't get to experience much. Well, we don't know. It could have been 1,000 years. We don't have any way of knowing how long it was, but sometime over the course of time, he turned over his authority. The Bible tells us that when that happened, the Bible says that he became what is known as the God of this world. He is not a God. Don't mistake in that. Satan is not a God. We talked about that one time. He has no power to create. He's not a God. But he became the God of this world. In other words, in authority and in power and what he could do to humanity, he did. After this, we see all through history of mankind, God making covenants with people and the nation of Israel. Now, I want you to listen to this. I'm not even going to touch on this, but I'm going to go into this, some of this, when we talk about the family and the importance of the family. God made a covenant with the family. His power and authority works through the family. So when Satan comes and he destroys families, he is directly destroying the very governmental system that God has set up that makes communities flourish. See, we have to understand when we're talking about doing our part and God doing his part, if you don't honor that, it doesn't mean divorce doesn't happen, doesn't mean bad situations don't happen, but we cannot change what is eternal. When we start messing with what is eternal and start redefining what God has already defined for us, it crumbles. Its foundation crumbles, but we're going to talk about that more when we get to the family. And so that's why it's important you get involved in these groups, because you'll be able to see and understand what God-given authority has been presented to you, delegated to you through your positions in a family. And then you'll begin to understand why the devil hates your guts so much and why he tries to destroy families. And here's an interesting thing. Why is it every bad thing could ever happen to you in your life, but the greatest pain, the greatest suffering that has ever happened to people, they will say comes from their families, doesn't it? Because that's a God-ordained eternal thing that's created. More pain, more suffering comes directly as a result of the breakdown, the collapse of the family. People live their entire lives with pain they carried from the time they were literally a little kid. It affects them more than anything. Why is that? Well, we're going to talk about that. Don't miss that. Get involved in those groups. So we see that God, after this, after Adam and Eve, the fall, the collapse, after we see this, we see all through history of mankind, God making covenants with people and the nation of Israel. Why did he do that? The reason God made covenants, I believe these covenants gave God the legal right to intervene in specific ways with specific people. Without the covenant, he couldn't do it because he had limited himself to delegated authority. So he made covenants. We see those, the covenant with the people of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How many of you reading the Old Testament see that God references those covenants many times, doesn't he? Well, he references those covenants because those became entry points for God to work on behalf of mankind and humanity, because he self-limited his power. He spoke certain things into existence in the Word of God, wrote them down, and because he spoke them, he limited his access to him to being able to come in and work on our behalf. But when they did that, when they opened that door and they made the covenant, God had access to come in and work on their behalf. We see that with the people of Israel. It's one of the first times that the Bible tells us God actually, since the date of Adam and Eve, that God actually came and abided with people on the earth. His presence, his spirit, but did you notice he could only be there in that form inside the tabernacle? Everything had to be clean and holy for him to come and live there. He was bringing heaven to the earth, and he did it through these covenants. Because God had to have legal means to get involved in our lives, and he did it through that. And I don't have time, but I encourage you, go study the concept of covenants and the concept of a contract, because they're not the same. That's why marriage was designed to be a covenant and not a contract. Did you know marriage was designed to be sealed in blood? I'm not going to explain this. We have too many children in our midst. But God created it that way. Covenants are sealed in blood, eternal. Jesus sealed his covenant in blood. That's interesting when you study covenants and what God has done through those covenants and his access point into this world. Jesus comes on the scene, and with him comes a new covenant. The Bible says Jesus came like the second Adam. The first Adam destroyed, Jesus came like the second Adam to establish a new creation. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven, and was the man of, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust, and is the heavenly man, so also those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So that's another area we're going to talk about next week when we're getting into this topic of the family, this family study, because of the image part. We are the image of God. We need to understand what that means as it's delegated to the family. When Jesus Christ came to the earth, he lived a truly righteous life. He fulfilled all the requirements of the law established in all the prior covenants. Read the book of Hebrews, it talks about that. And he takes all the authority back from Satan through his sacrifice and through meeting all of these covenantal requirements in his death, burial, resurrection. Then Jesus delegates that authority to us, the rightful children of God, through new birth, through the new covenant. The Bible says we become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. How many of you read that? It's in the book of Romans. Joint heirs. We're connected together. We're connected. In Matthew chapter 16, look at this. Jesus says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And God in heaven, listen, God in heaven will allow whatever you allow on earth. But he will not allow anything you don't allow. So here's the deal. Jesus gave us the keys to the kingdom of God. That's a representation of power and authority. He released that to us. He released us the power and authority. And did you hear what Jesus said? Jesus just said, God will allow what you allow. I didn't write that, did I? God wrote it. Jesus even said it. That's a question that you need to answer for yourself. Does God allow what we allow? Because if we wonder why this happens or that happens, maybe much of what happens all around us is really our responsibility. Because we didn't close the spiritual door in our world and it creates darkness. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen to everybody who lives in a fallen world. We do. But God has given us ways to intervene in that if we follow his plan. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And I want to get into some real stuff real quick here. Look at this. Ephesians 3:20. Now, this is important for us to understand. I'm just giving you scripture to show God can do anything, but he has chosen not to. And look at this, okay? Ephesians 3:20. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Guess what? How many ever heard that verse? People use that verse all the time. God can do, you know, abundantly and exceedingly over and above what he, all this kind of stuff. But look what he said. I'm going to make a statement. Listen, it is not true that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But it is true that he could if he had not chosen to work his power through us. Because look at this. His delegated power and authority. Look at what it says the last part. He said, according to the power that works in who? Us. So he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, but he wants to do it through you. He wants to do it through you. God flows through his people to do. That's the way he chose to do that. Now, there are varying degrees of this. There are things that God has control over that we have no control over. Then there are things that we have control over that God released and he no longer has control over it. He could take control. We're not saying he couldn't. But he didn't, and he bound himself on purpose so you and I have control over it. Look at this, Acts chapter 1 and verse 16. Real fast, Jesus is here with his followers. He's minutes away from being taken back to heaven. They don't know that this is the exact moment he's going to be taken. They think maybe, but they're not sure. And while they're standing there, his disciples ask in verse 6, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And what did he say? He's talking about, well, is this the time you're going to set up your earthly reign? Is this the time that the end is here? You know, when is all this going to happen? And he answers them and he says, it is not for you to know times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Jesus is saying there are some things that are completely under God's control, not ours, and it's at his discretion when he releases those. Jesus himself didn't even know when the end was, nor did the angels, he said. This is under the Father's authority. So that's one of the areas under God's control. That is one of the areas under God's control. See, here's another one, and this I'm not even going to answer for you, but I want you to think about it. Do you really believe that God has a date already circled on a calendar with the exact moment and time that you're going to die? I'm not going to answer that. I just want you to think about that. Okay? Did he just circle it out and there's nothing that you can do to change that? Well, I'm not going to answer that. I'll give you something to think about. All right, so what is in our control? What is in our control? That's what we want to know. What's under our control? Jesus answered that question. Okay, because we have to understand there are certain things under the Father's control and then there are certain things that are under our control. Okay? What is under our control? Verse 8 tells us, he says, Jesus is using this question to talk to them about these things of control, who is under what control and who has power and who has authority. Look what he says here. He says, but you shall receive power, or you could say authority, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In other words, Jesus is telling them what is under their control. He said, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. One of the things under our control is the power to be a witness. The angels can't do it for us. We are the only ones who can share the message of the gospel with each other. That's it. Strictly us. If it doesn't happen, it's our fault. If people are not coming to Christ, it's your fault. Because we didn't tell them. We didn't tell them the whole story. The angels don't do our job for us. What's another thing? The Bible tells us that we have power over the devil. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, Jesus told them, I'm giving you power over everything, over the demons, over all of them, and they will not harm you. I'm giving you power over those things. Now, why is this important? Okay, why is this important? And I'm going to end with a couple statements here this morning of why this is important. When you look in the book of Psalms, chapter 8, verses 4 through 6, the Bible tells us this. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visited him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Everything God has done in this world, he had a purpose behind it. And there's certain parts of that control that God has given to us. Now, look over at Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, this is the New Testament quote of that same verse. And you go through and it says the same thing. And then in verse 8, it says, you have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all things in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now, look at verse 8, but now we do not yet see all things put under him. Why? Why are all things not put under Jesus Christ? Because you and I are the hands, the feet, and the body of Jesus Christ. He's the brain, but we are the hands and the feet. We're the ones that are supposed to be out there putting these things under the feet of Jesus in our authority and in our power. But how do we get that power and that authority? I'm going to tell you this right here. Here's something important. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 8 tells us in right back there in Hebrews that we don't see everything under there. But the Bible tells us that everything is under there, but it's not yet visible. Jesus defeated the devil. Do you believe that? At the cross, Jesus defeated the devil. It says that he took the power of death away from him. Even death, he took the power of death from him. But why isn't God, or why, I guess the question is, don't we see all the things that we want to see right now? Well, let me tell you something. Listen to this. See, Jesus said he's committed all power to you and I. And maybe it's us who is allowing the power of darkness and the devil to rule over us because we do not understand authority and the way the Bible teaches us, and we don't live according to the Word of God the way he instructs us. Listen, maybe the reason why we don't see all the miracles, maybe the reason there are more people that are still sick and not well, is because we do not understand authority and we don't understand submission to it as a body of believers. See, I believe when we really recognize the sovereignty of God as we defined it, not how religion defines it, the sovereignty that we've defined as God-given authority to us, then we are going to be able to break free of the bonds of the earthly limitations, because Jesus said, when we are in unity as believers, then the world will see Jesus Christ as he is. In full power, they will see it. We haven't gotten there yet. See, because our unity visualized through submission to the Lord Jesus Christ and his authority, in that he will rule and reign on the earth through us. The church, right now, so many Christian people are waiting for God to do something, but maybe the reason Jesus is not fully reigning on the earth right now is because we are not submission and agreement to the words of God. And we're waiting for him to do it, and he's given it up to us to do it. Look at this. Galatians chapter 3, and this is a great verse. Some for you to think of. Look at the Apostle Paul explains this. Galatians 3 and verse 29. And he said, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by his father. God has given us everything, but many of us, because of our maturity level, of our understanding, the knowledge of the Word of God, all of these things, we are still operating in a slave mentality and not in a son. God cannot release everything to us because we're not ready for it. How many of you give your car keys to your 10-year-old? You have the power, but you're not giving them the keys. They're not ready for it, right? Well, God is waiting. The Bible even tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the creation itself is waiting. It says it is groaning in utter expectation for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. What is that? That means that you and I directly affect creation. What Adam did opened a window that created earthquakes, tornadoes, corruption, decay, sickness, disease, everything. When he did that, it opened the door up. Well, if you and I close the door, it'll be closed, and then what will happen to the rest of what God wants? Lastly, this morning, here's the question. How will things end? How will this end? I don't know about you, but I wonder that. I think everybody asks that all the time. How will things end? How is this going to end? We have the beginning, we have the end. How is this thing going to end? You want to know the answer? I don't have the answer. No, how's this going to end? Look here. The Apostle Paul reveals a little bit about how things will end up in his letter in Corinthians, and he said this. 1 Corinthians 15:24. He said, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. So Jesus wants to reign now. Not when he comes back in the very end. He wants to reign now. He's king, right? Don't we say Jesus Christ is Lord? He needs to be Lord over all. See, think about it. If this scripture is true, then it stands to reason that if there is a time coming in the future when Jesus will put an end to all rule, authority, and power, then those things must still exist right now. And if there is power and authority that exists now, which will be put to an end in the future, that means God cannot be the only power and authority operating today. There are many powers and authorities operating today. We get confused on that. There are people. People have power and authority. They can interrupt stuff. God has power and authority. He can do things. We have power and authority as Christians. The devil has power and authority and through people's lives. There's all kinds of craziness going on in the world. But the more you and I obey the word and apply it to our lives, the more power and the more ground that God takes for the kingdom. Now here's the deal. I believe you and I and generations to come have a part to play in determining when the end comes. There's a lot of scripture on it because you have to assume this. If God directly connected us to what happened in the beginning with the devil and turning over all the authority, and he still allows us authority and power right now, how does that power and authority and all of this directly connect to the end of when Jesus physically comes and sets up his reign total on the earth? When? You ever asked yourself, people sitting around, Lord, I want to know when this is all going to happen. When are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? And maybe God is sitting there asking, when are you going to do it? We either take responsibility for what God is doing on the earth or we don't. There's no middle ground. There's no, well, I'm going to be engaged today, but I'm not tomorrow. You can't do that. We either jump in both feet and say, yes, Lord, we need to be responsible for decisions that we make, or we don't. We affect it. Can you say amen? I want you to leave today knowing this. Your decisions are affecting everyone. Whether you see it or you don't see it, something happens in the spirit. Satan's or Adam's decision in the beginning affected you today, didn't it? Thousands of years later, we are still being affected by one decision that Adam and Eve made. You and I, if one human being can create that kind of effect, what else can we do? What would happen if all of us joined together in unity and power? What would that affect? Could it change a lot? It could actually change a lot of people's lives. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, Father, we thank you today. I thank you today, Lord, that you do give us glimpses of truth. Help us, Lord, to mature in a way that we can be trustworthy with more of your power and strength in this world to change people's lives, not just temporarily, but for generations to come. Help us, Lord, to take that responsibility and move forward in your power and in your authority. And we thank you for this today in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?